Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer in New York City. And I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on a beautiful Easter Sunday evening. Temperature outside, 66 degrees. We finally have spring. Well, I mean, spring's been here for a bit, but it actually feels like it today. And we also have, a lovely full moon that's just starting to separate above our heads in Libra, making us all very much about relationships. And today, of course, the beauty of the day of the moon being in Scorpio made us very aware of our family dynamics and our family passions, so to speak, because we're all feeling a little extra passionate, a little more of, wow, I'm really, really feeling that energy. So your job with this kind of thing is to go, okay, yeah, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I had somebody say that to me the other day. They go, you know, you always tell me I'm right where I'm supposed to be, and I don't really like it. And I'm like, okay, you know, well, I can't really help that. I simply can report on where you are. So what I do here at the Weekly Weather is we report on where we are, what's going on, how it feels energetically, how to work with it productively. And I will say the week ahead of us is a hard week, okay, for a couple of reasons, and not the least of which is Mercury finally went direct, but she's still in Pisces. So Mercury in Pisces is giving us information that is perhaps overloading us. So last week was the week of reveals, where people were telling you things that you maybe didn't want to know, or that, you know, had been going on for a while that you needed to hear. So I heard quite a few of those stories. You know, people being in a bar and hearing that their boyfriend was, you know, back with their old girlfriend, even though they hadn't told them. That, you know, a child, you know, saying to the parent, you know, I have a drug deal, I have a drug problem. People confessing things or coming clean, you know, it was very much a come clean week last week because people just couldn't handle it anymore. Or perhaps some people that were kind of behaving in over-the-top ways being told to stop or to sit down and not do that anymore. So we had a lot of different kinds of coming out stories where people talked about what was going on for them and how they felt. And in some cases, you know, diseases were revealed or illnesses were revealed that we didn't know about. And, of course, today we hear Mike Wallace died, a famous 60 Minutes reporter, as Pluto stops in the sky. And he, of course, always dug into the underworld, and they used to have courses on what to do when 60 Minutes came calling, you know, because he was one of those reporters that would confront you with the dark truth. They were talking about that on the news this morning when I woke up. So fitting that he leaves on a Mercury Scorpio as Pluto stations. So our week ahead has two of the harder planets stopping, okay? We have Pluto stopping on the 10th, and we have Mars stopping on the 13th. And both of them are difficult planets. They're what are called malefics, meaning they're not nice. And they unearth things. So very often when something happens on a Pluto station or on a Mars station, dark things come to light. Now, if you are, you know, working on figuring something out, this is the week where you're going to figure it out. If you're facing some kind of surgery or medical process, they may find something in there that you really didn't expect them to find. It's a hard week. It will be a week when we're done that we go, boy, I'm really glad that one's over. Because the two of them stopping 3 days apart, the planet of the underworld and the planet of war who sends people to the underworld, makes for a hard week, regardless of how happy Venus is or how whatever. And Mercury right now is in Pisces, so Venus in Gemini is answering to him. And so even though she's happy that she's in Gemini, she's a little sad because she's in Pisces. And Pisces, of course, marks the ends of things. So there'll be a lot of things ending this week. Good or bad endings, you know, we always like to think, oh, well, with every ending, a new beginning happens. And that is true. That said, these are hard endings. And so your job with yourself and with everybody that you meet is to be kind and to the extent that you can, supportive, because the endings are hard for everybody. The person who's pulling the plug on the situation and the person whose plug is being pulled. If you have a medical procedure, you'll probably find that this is a week where things are revealed that are hidden, that were hidden, that you didn't see before, or you realize things that are permanent, you know, or perhaps life-ending or perhaps life-altering, maybe a better way to say it. It's a hard week. A lot of times when Pluto stations and Mars stations, we have a war. Well, they're both stationing this week. So, you know, we don't like to forecast wars, but war is part of the energy of Pluto and Mars. I was thinking about a situation a couple weeks ago when Mars and Pluto paralleled each other that last week in January, first week in February, and I think it was like the second or third of February. It was the Friday, the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I was doing the I do the Twitter feed, so I was Mars parallel Pluto, and you know, both of my assistants went, well, that doesn't sound good. And I'm like, well, no, it's not, because Mars parallel Pluto's passion, and you know, and I was feeling guilty because I was like, it's a war. There's a war going to start, and you know, you don't want to say that, you know, because you don't want to be negative predictive. But Mars Pluto, sometimes you do have to be negative predictive because that's what's going on. What Mars-Pluto does is it marks a permanent ending. Either one of them. And the fact that both of them are stopped in the heavens talking to each other and talking to everybody else in the heavens says it's a permanent ending. And Mars and Pluto are in a trine to each other. So whatever the ending is will be marked with some kind of firm and yet clear, this is the story and this is what's going to happen. And then you get to decide how you want to handle it. Okay. That's where we get the free will and the choice. You know, when the planets reflect difficult energies in our world or in our personal lives, we are offered the opportunity to work with them in a highly conscious way, which is the beauty and the gift of astrology. And I know when I was first studying it, I had a very Capricorn teacher, and he was like, well, this is it. You know, people don't come to you when they're happy. They come to you when they're sad. They, you know, when they're happy, they don't think, call the astrologer. They come when they're having a hard time and they want to know when it's going to be over. And I remember thinking, well, geez, you know, that's, what are you, the bad news bearer? And he was like, well, yeah, that's your job. You know, you deal with the bad news. But you also deal with the changes in life force. You deal with the directional shifts that we have. So this week ahead of us, there's a lot of directional shifts. Now, the good part, if one can say good, because there always is good, is that Mercury's in Pisces. And Venus is answering to him, and she's ruling Saturn, who rules Pluto. And Mars is in Virgo, and he's answering to Mercury in Pisces. So we're going to, you know, it's going to be a soft ending, but it is an ending, okay? It's not going to be like fiery and blowing things up. That'll be for next week when Mercury gets into Aries on the 16th. Then we're going to be pissed about what happened last week, this week. But this week, we're going to be sad. Okay, it's definitely a week of tears. I had someone here earlier today, and she said, Ann, all I do is cry. And I'm like, well, that's what you're supposed to be doing right now. Neptune is about releasing and saying, I'm finished with this, and it's done. And on some level, it's really done. You know, it really is finished, and you have to be sad, and you have to let it go so that there's room. And she's like, I'm afraid I'm never going to stop crying. I'm like, oh, no, eventually the tears run out. But there is a real existential sadness, you know. And if you read this, like The Stranger by Camus, or any of the existential writers who kind of said, you know, why do we exist? Is there a God? How can we say there's a God when there's all this horrible stuff? If there's no reason to be good, why should we be good at all? Let's just be bad. And I think part of the reason existentialism appeals when you're having a very nihilistic transit and you want to end everything is because you're feeling very overwhelmed by the events and the emotions of the day and the time. And you're feeling very much like, you know, I don't have any hope. Hope comes next week. So this is the week to, and the ability to take action comes next week. this week is the mourning and the sadness week. This is the week where we say, I am really feeling bad about this, and there's nothing I can do but feel bad and sit with you. And I remember back to a time when a friend of mine died very unexpectedly, young, 35, dropped dead, aortic aneurysm. And I was good friends with his sister. And I didn't know what to do, you know, because, I mean, how do you say to your friend, I'm so sorry your brother dropped dead? And another friend of hers, Rita, said to me, Anne, this is when friendship's really important. This is what friendships are for. This is the time when you step forward and you say, I am your friend, because this is when we can actually support each other and do something for the other. And this is why we are friends. This is actually like when our friendship is called in to stand up and say, hey, I'm your friend. Let me take your side. Let me help you. And that's also what this week is for. You know, when we're going through the battle or when we're having a hard time or when we're really stressed, very often the best things that can happen is someone telling us that they love us and they're thinking about us and they have them us in their hearts and we're praying for you, or you're just thinking of them and sending them love. Because part of the energy this week is all about recognizing there but for the grace of God go I. This could be me having this happen. So that's the other place to stand. Stand in the person's shoes. Think about what they're going through. For whatever reason, I'm going to pull his chart at some point in the next couple of days because he's very active. John Kennedy, John JFK, President John Kennedy, been very active. There was an article on him in Vanity Fair. There was an article on him in The New Yorker, something else. I mean, I've been reading all these different articles on him. The Secret Service guy for Jackie Kennedy wrote a book about his guarding her and the days of the assassination. And he's the guy, if you remember the Zagruder film, who jumped on the trunk. You know, he was the Secret Service that jumped off what they called the Queen Mary that was following 10 feet behind the presidential limo. And he's the one that crawled onto the trunk as she is crawling out of the trunk, or out of the car, going backwards. Like, it looked like she was getting him, which has always been my vision of it, that she was crawling to get him to help him in the car. And so he wrote that she was chasing a piece of his skull. And I thought, my God, how can you see your husband have his head blown off in front of you? I mean, we knew it happened, but I was like right back there. And I was not that old. I was only 9 years old when Kennedy got assassinated. But here's the Secret Service guy saying she had a panicked look as she was chasing a piece of his skull, trying to get it from falling out of the car. I always thought she was trying to help him in the car, you know, the Secret Service guy. And it was like such a reframe. And then there was an article, I think it was Vanity Fair or New Yorker, where they were writing about, it was a Cato, he's doing the biography of Lyndon Johnson, and he was talking about taking the oath on the presidential plane as they, you know, were waiting on Air Force One and taking the oath and the moments prior to and during the and after the assassination, but told from Johnson's perspective as the biographer of Johnson. And again, telling that story, and I thought, well, obviously the Kennedys are in something activating John Kennedy's chart that we're hearing about his assassination again. But it is really appropriate on days like Pluto Mars, where we are faced with senseless violence, to kind of go and say, hey, you know, and her comment, I want them to see what they did to Jack, covered with her body covered in blood, you know, her dead husband's blood. And I'm like, you know, like, if that happened to me, I would have been in a friggin' institution for like 20 years. I can't watch a scary movie, much less imagine, you know, sitting there and having that happen. And so each of us, as we go through these difficult passages, and we will have them in our lives, you know, this will be a difficult passage for some people in your life. Because Pluto's stopping and Mars are stopping, and they're both stopping this week. So this is a defining week for a few people, and I can think of a couple people that I know that are really facing some heavy-duty stuff this week. It's a defining week for each of us to stand in our own truth and to look at that existential moment and say, you know, what am I here for? Why do I exist? What is my purpose? And if we read Camus, and he writes about the, you know, in The Stranger, he writes about the man who killed somebody because he wondered what it felt like. you know, in Johnny Cash's song, you know, I shot a man just to see, watch one die. It's like, well, why? What kind of person does that? Then at the same token, it's also this, because it is a Mars-Pluto week, this is a week when people will get caught doing something bad. This is a week when people who are on the edge will jump off the bridge. So if you know somebody who's feeling depressed or sad, pick up the phone and give them a call and tell them you love them and make sure you check in. Because this is one of those weeks where we really need to support each other. We really need to give each other a hug. We need to say I love you more than once. We need to give a connection. We need a connection ourselves. The moon is in Sagittarius. The moon is in Capricorn. The moon is in Aquarius. These are all slightly chilly signs. They're detached signs. People are going to be feeling very detached. So our job is to say, hey, hey, you're here. You're part of my tribe. I love you. Come sit with me. Be my, you know, come over here and tell me what's going on with you. Holding a hand, reaching out, giving a hug, acknowledging the sadness, because this is a week when we'll be aware of sadness. And certainly with the Kennedy assassination back in the news, such as it is, you know, like I was like, why am I keep reading about Kennedy assassinations this last couple days? It's understanding that when we face senseless violence and when we have tragedies befall us or befall our people, are the people that we love, that part of that energy is about us understanding that that asks us, like my friend Rita said, to step forward. This is what we're here for. These are the times when it really matters that we are friends, that we can step forward, that we can say, hey, I love you. You know, I get that you're having a really hard time. I can't make the hard time go away, but I can tell you I love you, and I can support you in that love, and that's what I can do. And, you know, you don't have to do anything else but just sit there, be quiet, take my love, and I will say prayers for you. I will love you. I will bring you a cup of coffee. I will get you a muffin. What do you need? How can I help? And if we can all approach the week this week with that in mind, it will help enormously. It will help us, because very often in these kinds of things we feel a little helpless. It will help them, because in these times, you know, we feel the support and the love. I know when people are in hospice, the families often say, you know, they really weren't there for the dying patient. They were there for us. And that's what the hospice workers know, is it's not so much about the dying person. They've got their job and then their work cut out for them. It's for the family waiting and saying goodbye to the person and bidding them adieu. So it's a very strong energy this week. With Pluto stopped, we've been feeling the energy build the last couple of days. With Mars stopped, we'll feel it like the 10th, 11th, 12th, which kind of overlaps with the Pluto stopping. So Pluto stops Tuesday, Mars stops Friday. So the whole week's kind of a vibe of hard energy, but it's a trine. So it's positive hard energy, if you can wrap your head around that. It says there's a positive in this. Whatever happens this week, even though it might be hard, it helps you move forward. It helps you create. It helps step you forward on your path. And it allows you to work in a different way, to see the world in a different way, to come from a different place. So harsh, it felt like that was a little harsh, but it's where we are, what can I say? All right, so let's talk about what else is going on this week, because there is some good stuff. There's always good stuff. Babies will be born. People will get married, although you know, it's not really a great week to get married. Unless, you know, you're marrying, unless you're Mr. and Mrs. Smith, like Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, because this is their kind of marriage, you know, that movie where they're both killers. Okay, so our week this week, we have Moon in Scorpio right now, goes into Sag tomorrow morning at 11:13, and then it's in Sag for a couple days, and then it goes out with a positive sextile to Saturn, so it's a very productive moon Monday, Tuesday. Then Wednesday, it goes into Capricorn in the afternoon, and that one ends with a sextile to Mercury, so the news will be good, which is good. Even though it might not be great news, it'll be good news. The moon also occults Pluto. Very often when that happens, we get news of how someone's going to die. It's kind of one of those weird ones, and I've watched that a few times. I know this is really sounding – you want to hang up now, right? You don't want to listen to the rest of the recording. Actually, it gets better. It does. I promise. When Moon occults Pluto, Pluto is the body. Pluto is death, and Moon is the body. So we learn about how we're going to die, you know. So, like, people find out, oh, I have a heart problem, or, oh, I have a whatever. And they come to realize that's what's going to kill me. Okay. Because that – energy is going to be what takes me out. So Moon Pluto is we're going to learn, or people are going to learn. You may not, but somebody else you know may. This is how I'm leaving. And one of the interesting things of human life is we all do die. And we all know it on some level that we get to leave. And, you know, a lot of people kind of go, well, like, how? Good, bad, indifferent? What's the deal? So with Moon Pluto on Thursday, that's kind of an understanding of, okay, this is how I'm departing. And then the Moon goes into Aquarius, which is closing sextile to the Sun. So even though the aspects are very positive closings, and they are, they're really good closing aspects, Sagittarius and the two Capricorn, Aquarius and Saturn, are both you know, kind of final moons or judgment moons or learning something moons. So we're going to learn something and then we're going to see the results of things with these moons. The Sun goes from 20 degrees Aries to 26, and he forms an aspect with the nodes of fate on the 9th, which is nice because he kind of is a parallel and talks to them and says, okay, let's great. Forms with Eris, the goddess of discord, on the 11th, so we're a little cranky crabby then. He has an argument with the nodes of fate on the 10th. So people are going to be in the mood to arguing or being separative. Remember, we got a Pluto transit going on underneath this. So the Sun in Aries feels the desire to take action. However, he's answering to stationary Mars in Pisces, right? So stationary Mars in Pisces goes, well, you might want to, but there really isn't anything we can do here. It's the last sign of the zodiac. It's stopped in the sky. We're doing the best we can, but truth be told, not a lot to be done. We also have a finger of God with Mars this week, which makes, of course, Mars' stopping more important. So we'll see that role before us. And we also have Sun opposite Saturn on the 15th, which usually marks an ending or some kind of transformation, and the Sun semi-square Chiron on the 12th, which again speaks to some kind of wounding. And Sun semi-square Venus on the 10th is something of a financial or emotional matter. So the Sun in fire has hard aspects with pretty much everybody he talks to this week. So our ego needs are going to be strong and not necessarily met, okay? We go to Mercury. Mercury, of course, just stopped last week and went direct. So he is moving direct. He goes from 25 to 28 Pisces. And he forms an in conjunct to Saturn. So he's delivering information that isn't pleasant on the 12th. And he has some stressful aspects on the 10th around health matters or health communications. When we get to Venus, Venus goes from 5 Gemini to 10 Gemini. She technically enters her shadow on the 11th, so the matters of Gemini, the matters of the heart that you're going to be dealing with, and that's we should talk positively a little bit about Venus, between now and the second week in August are very strong. You're going to find out what the Venus story is, the story of beauty, the story of two sides, the story of two parts. Venus joins with the nodes of fate on the 10th and asks us to move forward, okay? And release. So she's sitting in the south node and releasing into that to then be allowed to move forward to the north node. Remember, we have to fill the south to move to the north. A lot of times astrologers or baby astrologers, I guess better way to say it, they've read some stuff and they go, that south node, I'm not supposed to do it. I'm not supposed to do the south node. It's like, no, you have to fill the south node to be able to move to the north. The problem is a lot of people get stuck in that south node and they stay there rather than getting out and going and doing something. So you have to do the south node. It has to be filled. So Venus hitting that south node is going to fill it. But when she goes into the south node, a lot of times that's some kind of love energy or some kind of beauty energy ending, changing form, releasing. To be able to move forward, to the north node of Jupiter and Sag, answering to Venus ruled Jupiter and Taurus. So there's a real interesting story with Venus this week. Whatever your story is with money and love and women and people, it's big. And then Venus, of course, squares Chiron and has an inconjunct to Pluto. So she's not going to really like what she finds out towards the end of the week, because the message is hard. That said, we're in the process right now of deciding what we want to do with relationships. So a lot of relationships this week that have been back and forth or tentative or not really clear what they're doing or indecisive, people will really be feeling the pull to make decisions because Mars is going forward. And he's like, I have to change this. And Pluto's stopping and he's saying, I've gone as far as I can go. I can't go forward. I have to go backwards now. And he's going to retrace his steps. So Pluto's stopping to go backwards, back to where he came from, retracing his steps. And then Mars stopping to go forward and saying, okay, I'm back to November, and now I have to go forward with a new story. Mars also parallels Saturn, meaning he joins with Saturn, marking an ending on April 13th when he does his little stop in the sky. And he also has, when he stops, he has the 3 days on either side. So he stops on Friday, which means Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday are his. And then, of course, Pluto stopped, and so we had Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Tuesday is Pluto's, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday is Pluto's. So this is a Pluto-Mars week, always fun. Then we have Jupiter, who's not really doing anything. I mean, he is trining the planning of healing. So we're going to be healing. That's good. He's in Taurus. That's okay. He's contraparallel Cupido. He's ending things that we thought were our family or our relationships. Saturn is in conjunct in Medos, again marking an adjustment to an ending. We're going to be adjusting and figuring out what we want to do. And Neptune, of course, is sextile Ceres. This is the part about nurturing each other, being kind to each other, taking care of each other, because really we are all we have. And Uranus trines Juno, which can be unexpected partnerships emerging or unexpected nurturing emerging from behind the scenes. And that's on Sunday. Vesta is aspecting the 10th, which says you can't go back. Whatever happens, it's done. You can't go back. Those are permanent changes around the home and the hearth. If you quit your job last week or you broke up with your boyfriend or you whatever, you did break up on a Mercury retrograde and a Mars retrograde. So we might be going back, but I would suggest you not call them until after Mars goes direct and we get into a little happier energy. Don't call this week. Leave them alone this week because everybody's going to dig in a little more into their whatever there are, and nobody's having a particularly good time. So, just kind of let stuff alone. If you got a situation that's really that you have to handle, you have to handle it. But if it's a situation that you can just kind of avoid it. It's a good week to avoid things because this is big energy up there. Juno is forming a new relationship on the 14th. She's partnering with transformation and change. She's partnering with moving forward. And Ceres is forming positive aspects with, good nurturing and good healing. So we find a nice, interesting week ahead of us. The best thing to do is to be very kind to yourself, be very kind to those you meet, take extra time for yourself, underbook, block out space, give yourself room. You don't need to be stressed, okay? And you may be called on to step forward and help other people, or you may find that there's something going on in your world. It's one of those really, really big weeks on Earth, and hopefully no wars break out, nobody bombs somebody big, and that we all get through it with a modicum of positive transformation. Remember that there is a trine. Trines are helpful. This does move us forward, even if we're not really sure we want to move forward. It does help. And, of course, there are some health aspects, so we may find out some health information that we really didn't want to know. And that is part of this energy too. So be kind, love each other, hug your loved ones, kiss them, tell them you adore them, play with your dog or cat, eat good food, sleep a lot. It's really the best thing to do. Or listen to music that calms your soul. So on that very kind of not optimistic but reasonably accurate, I believe, note, I'm going to hang up and wish you a great week. Happy Easter, by the way. And happy Passover, depending on which holiday you celebrate. And happy almost spring. We're in spring, almost Taurus. We do that next week. So this week is all about change. Just remember that. And it is a transit. So it's not forever. It's just for now. Hard, but part of what we have to go through here on Earth as humans. And we're going to be okay, especially if we hold each other's hands and hum kumbaya under our breath. All right? Take care. Bye-bye.